of narrators pulled from the chain, that hadith becomes mu'dal. As we showed you, that two people, and this is for the sisters primarily, two people are removed from the chain, therefore it is a mu'dal hadith, and it can be whether in the transmission of the Sahabi and the Tabi'i, or preceding them or after them and so forth.
No.
Is that clear? And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have in this place, if you remove one person from the chain, not the Sahabi, you keep the Sahabi, because if you remove that, that's Mursal. But you remove a person in the chain anywhere below the Sahabi, one person, there isn't anything consecutive, one person, that becomes munqata, means broken. The chain is broken. There's a breakage in the chain. So therefore, the tabi'i, he reports from the Sahabi who reports to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one form of munqata. Now.
في استفسار؟
نعم سؤال
على الحاجة على الحال على الصورة.
على هذه الصورة.
ما في؟ أريد الصورة هذه.
Questions, make them relevant. Make the questions relevant to this particular example right now.
بكتب الرجال. كتب الرجال. واضح؟ كتب الرجال تقول روى عن فلان روى عنه فلان.
نعم. The Shaykh was asked, how do we know that the tabi'i is missing? Well, we know by the chain, we can tell from the books of rijal, of men, we know the names of them. So this person says, I report from him, and I report from him. So if you see there's a time span where these two people haven't met, or that there is no one from the same cities and so forth, and there's a breakage in the chain, he reports from someone who preceded him 100 years, 150 years or something. In that period, there is inqita, there is a breakage. Now.
Now?
Yes. نعم بالنسبة للحديث المعضل مش لازم يكون بين التابعين والتابع التابعين ممكن في الإسلام.
في أي طبقة من السند الانقطاع والإعضال يكون في أي طبقة من السند لكن الإعضال يكون على التوالي والانقطاع لا يكون على التوالي.
The Shaykh answers the question the brother was asking, what about if it's fifth or sixth generation after the tabi'in or so forth? The Shaykh is mentioning to you that a hadith that is munqati' or a hadith that is the hadith that is mu'dal or a hadith that is munqati' can be any of the tabaqat, any of the different levels. So here you have the level of sahaba, here you have the level of tabi'in, here you have the level of the tabi'i tabi'in, here you have the level of those who were reporters from these, the shuyukh, the imam, another level. Anywhere where there's a breakage, and this keeps going on and on and on. If the breakage is here, there is a breakage there. It can be in any of the levels. It doesn't have to be tabi'in or tabi'i tabi'in. The Shaykh also mentions to you that the important distinction to understand the mu'dal from the munqati' is that the mu'dal are two consecutive reporters. One after another are not present. While a munqati' hadith is where it's one reporter who's missing, or it can be more than one, but they are not consecutive. They're not this and this. This is munqati'. It can be this or this, but they are not consecutive in the tabaqat or in the generation. No. No, no, they are titled munqata or maqtua.
لا.
يعني هل نعد هذه الأحاديث على هذه الصورة حديث مرسل؟ لا. ده بيكون حديث
مرسل في طبقة الصحابة. واضح؟ المنقطع في أي طبقة؟ المعضل في أي طبقة لكن اثنين على التوالي.
نعم.
نوع من الانقطاع لكن خاص. واضح؟ نوع من الانقطاع لكنه ايش خاص على الصورة يا اخواني.
The مرسل حديث
على التعريف اللي عنده استفسار يسأل. نعم. ممكن إذا كان الانقطاع لوحده والإعضال لوحده، لكن لو كان التابع والصحابي اللي سقطوا بنقول معضل. واضح؟
The Sheikh was asked, can a hadith be mu'adal and mursal at the same time? Meaning, can there be a breakage here and here? Meaning, if these two are taken out like this,
معضل.
Like this example, this is mu'adal. ممكن نسميه مرسل كذا.
معضل. لا.
لا.
لكن لو كان الانقطاع هنا.
أي.
والصحابي ما فيه.
نعم.
بنسمي إيش؟ منقطع ومرسل.
نعم. The Sheikh gives you another form of the mu'adal. Where it would be mu'adal and mursal together. You have a reporter, يرحمك الله, and you have the tabi'i, the sahabi, and the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. This would be deemed a hadith that is munqati' and mursal at the same time. نعم. نعم يعني أكثر من اثنين.
نعم أكثر ثلاثة.
نعم. You can have as many people consecutive. Once it's more than two consecutive, it is mu'adal. نعم.
مخضرة. Very high information about مخضرم هو الذي أدرك الجاهلية ولم يسلم في عصر الرسول وإنما أسلم في عصر الصحابة فهو لم يرى الرسول وإن ولد في الجاهلية فهذا حديثه حديث مرسل نعم
نعم. The hadith, the Sheikh is mentioning a person who was alive during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but did not believe in Islam, did not believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam until after the death of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Such a person, his narration is deemed mursal when it's narrated from him, since he was not present with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
إلا في حال واحدة نادرة أن يكون هذا المخضرم هو شاهد أمرا من الرسول في الجاهلية وهو كافر ثم رواه بعد إسلامه فهو حديث صحيح. سورته سورة المرسل لكنه حديث صحيح. ليش؟ لأنه رأى بعينه وسمع بأذنه. ولا يشترط الإسلام في حالة التحمل في حالة السماع، وإنما يشترط الإسلام في حالة الأداء. في حالة الأداء يا نديم.
Now, the Sheikh Hafidhahullah is mentioning the only time, the only exception is if that person who accepted Islam after the death of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a witness in the days of his disbelief, in his days of Jahiliyyah, to an event that took place with the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam present. Meaning, he saw the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or he heard the Messenger with his own ears, with his own eyes, saying something or doing something. Although he wasn't Muslim at the time, he can recount that incident and that would be an acceptable narration that we would accept. Because it was something that he was witness to. And therefore Islam is not a prerequisite for this type of witness, rather it is for the carrying of knowledge afterwards. Meaning that a person must have the knowledge that comes afterwards in order to be a narrator of this these incidents. Meaning that the person has to have seen the incident with his own eyes and ears to be able to report it. For the next 10 minutes, we will take some more questions and answers from you. مخضرم نعم عندنا في واحد
تفضل. Can the brothers stand just so that the mashayikh can see them, not for any other reason, inshallah.
السلام عليكم.
السلام ورحمة الله.
لو سمحت يا شيخ بدي أسألك بالنسبة لطالب الحديث إذا يريد في خلافات في ضعيف أو تحسين حديث ماذا يفعل إذا في خلاف بين المتقدمين والمتأخرين والمتقدمين كذلك؟
بالنسبة لاختلاف علماء الحديث في التصحيح والتضعيف كاختلاف علماء الفقه في الحكم الشرعي، كيف نستطيع أن نخلص من الخلاف؟ كنا من طلاب العلم المتقدمين فنستطيع أن نرجح بالأدلة قول هذا العالم على قول هذا العالم، فنكون قد خلصنا من الخلاف. وإن كنا غير متقدمين مبتدئين فنقلد الأعلم، قلد الأعلم في فنه، الأعلم في علمه، واضح؟ وهذا أسلم وأحوط، والله تعالى أعلم. نعم.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah was asked by the brother, if we see that the scholars of the past deemed the hadith sahih or da'if, and then the scholars who are in our contemporary times, they declare the hadith opposite to what the others of the past declared it, due to whatever reason. How do we understand this issue? The Shaykh Hafizahullah answered by saying, we stand this issue in the same way we understand the issues of the scholars of fiqh disagreeing upon issues. It is both something that is relative to their understanding of the proofs and the evidences. So how do we save ourselves from frivolous differing? First, we follow the evidence. Whether the evidence was with the people of the past or with the contemporary. Where there is evidence, that is what we adhere to and take. The second is that we take the position of the most noted scholars in the discipline. Meaning if there is someone of a high caliber and someone who doesn't have a lot of knowledge of what of the sciences, he comes and contradicts, and the evidence is there, is it's not very clear who has the most correct evidence, we go with the scholar who is more established and founded upon knowledge. No.
Bismillah. Sheikh, ما قول الحديث أو الأثر إذا مثلا قال الحسن البصري أن يأتي مع كل القطرة من السماء ملك وما يذكر يعني سند أو أي شيء، هل يعتبر هذا صحيح؟ أو إذا نريد أن ننقل هذا، هل علينا أن نقول مثلا قال حسن البصري هذا القول؟
إذا قال التابعي قولا غيبيا فهو أحد احتمالين، إما أن يكون أخذ هذا القول عن أهل الكتاب فيكون هذا من الإسرائيليات ولو صح السند إلى التابعي، أو يكون أن هذا القول لا يقال، لا يعني يؤخذ عن أهل الكتاب، لا يعرف أنه أخذ عن أهل الكتاب، أو أنه لا يوجد في كتب أهل الكتاب، فعندئذ إذا صح الإسناد إلى التابعي فيكون الحديث مرسل، واضح؟ ما يحتاج.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah, the brother was asking, how do we deal with issues where a tabi'i, and the brother mentions specifically Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, how do we deal with his type of reports and the question that the brother put forth, where example, al-Hasan al-Basri says, every drop of rain that falls, an angel descends with it. How do we accept these narrations? How do we view them? The Shaykh mentioned, whenever a tabi'i makes an open statement of such a nature, dealing with matters of ghaib, dealing with matters of the unseen, such as this example put forth by the brother, it is one of two things. Either that this tabi'i has taken this narration from the stories of the people of Israel, or the people of the scriptures, meaning the Jews and the Christians, taken it from their book, and he mentions it as a comment. That is one statement. We do not accept this, and we count it as an Isra'iliyat. We count it where we don't disbelieve it and we don't verify its authenticity. We just remain silent. The second statement is that the Sheikh mentions, the other side is that if it is known that what that Imam stated, what that Tabi'i stated, is not from the words of the people of the scriptures, Ahlul Kitab, then we treat this statement as a mursal narration, and therefore once again it is not to be used as an evidence. لا يحتج به. We cannot use it as an evidence or build rulings upon it.
I just wanted to ask the Shaykh about you mentioned the person who was jahil at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then he started believing when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died. But the one who witnessed an event with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is he deemed as a Sahaba or
المخضرم هل يعد صحابيا؟
لا ليس صحابيا لأنه لم يرى الرسول مسلما. شرط الصحابي أن يشاهد الرسول مؤمنا ويموت على إيمانه.
The Shaykh حفظه الله answers this question by saying that this type of person who is in a state of disbelief during the life of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even if he witnessed events of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and then the Rasul passed away and then that person entered into Islam, this type of person, we do not count him as a Sahabi. And therefore, the reason we state he is not from the Sahaba is that a Sahabi is a person who was alive during the time of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and saw or heard from the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while being a Muslim or a mu'min or a Muslim and eventually passing away in a state of Islam. A Sahabi is one who was alive and Muslim during the time of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and saw or heard from the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and then eventually passed away in a state of belief in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala.
No way. عفوا شيخ ذكرت ان المرسل الصحابي يكون صحيح لان الصحابي يكون راوي عن صحابي اخر ولكن ماذا مثال عبد الله بن ابي بكر ولد في حجة الوداع عبد الله بن ابي بكر الصديق ولد في حجة الوداع فيكون لم يسمع من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاحيانا يكون سمع من تابعين فكيف نعد هذا انه صحيح الحديث
طبعا بارك الله فيك انه كون الصحابي سمع من تابعي هذا اولا يقول اهل العلم انه نادر الوقوع ثم علم بالاستقراء ان جميع احاديث الاحكام احاديث التي عليها مدار الدين والتي لها تأثير في الشرع لم تسمع يسمعها صحابي عن تابعي ولو حدث فإن الصحابة لم يسمعوا إلا من تابعي ثقة فلضعف هذا الاحتمال بارك الله فيك ولرجوح القول السابق فإن العلماء جزموا باختلاج مرسل الصحابي بل نقل أكثر من واحد من أهل العلم إجماع أهل العلم على الاحتجاج بمرسل الصحابي نعم أريد أن أنبه أقول بارك الله فيكم نحن نريد في هذه الدورة للمبتدئين أن نقرر القواعد والحدود والتعريفات وأنا لا أريد أن أدخل في التفاصيل قد يكون بعض إخواننا من أهل إخواننا بارك الله فيهم عندهم تقدم على الآخرين لكن نحن نريد أن نجعل هنا قاعدة مشتركة بين جميع الإخوة في هذا العلم وهذا الفن وهذه العلوم حتى نستطيع في الدورات القادمة بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى أن نبني عليها ولذلك الأخوة الذين عندهم أسئلة خاصة أو دقيقة في علم المصطلح ممكن يسألوها على انفراد أو يعني إن شاء الله في وقت آخر بارك الله فيكم
The Shaykh حفظه الله was asked and I paraphrase the question since I'm the translator I can do that sometimes The Shaykh was asked If a person who is a Sahabi, how come we can accept that a Sahabi can be, that we accept the narration of the Mursal of Sahabi, meaning that the Sahabi, we accept the Mursal of a Sahabi. Can it not be that a Sahabi was benefited with some knowledge from a Tabi'i? Why is it that we assume that the Sahabi learned the knowledge from another Sahabi? The Sheikh answers by saying the scholars of Al-Islam and the scholars of Hadith specifically, they have stated only very rare occasions where a Sahabi has taken knowledge from a Tabi'i or taken a narration from a Tabi'i. And this, the scholars established, was never done in the issues of the Ahkam, the rules and regulations. There aren't any ahadith where a Sahabi acquired ahadith regarding Ahkam from a Tabi'i. As well, if we were to assume that a Sahabi heard a narration from a Tabi'i, the narration that was heard in those few instances, rare instances, were from the major Tabi'in, the higher scholars of Tabi'in. So it is not from something of an unreliable source. As well, the Sheikh points that there is ijma', consensus from the scholars of Al-Islam, specifically those of Hadith, that the Mursal of al-Sahabi is to be treated as a sahih narration, due to the evidences that indicate this, which the Sheikh refrained from giving in specifics. And then he reminded the brothers that this, if you have specific questions, detailed questions, that are at a higher level than what we are trying to present here, since the Sheikh mentions we are presenting the foundations so that we can build upon it in later times. So the foundation that we are presenting, if you have questions that are higher above this, then you can come in a private question, and we will deal with the issue in more detail, inshallah.
هناك كلام دقيق وجميل للحافظ ابن حجر منقول من النكت بذلك.
And the Sheikh informs the brother and those of you who have want to pursue the issue further, that of the Mursal al-Sahabi, you can turn to the book which is the Sharh of the Sheikh. In this book you will find on page 127 his commentary, his explanation, and his reports from Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar and from other sources that explain the whole issue in detail, in a great deal of specifics. That would be of benefit. No.
Question? Sure. No, Abu Hanifa.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
With going back to the Mursal Hadith, I heard that, or I was told this, and this is from Talib al-Ilm from Yemen, he said that there's an exception with Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Because he said Ibn al-Musayyib was so strong, and he only took from the Kibar Sahaba, that Imam Shafi'i and many, many others accepted his narration. Is this correct?
No.
بالنسبة للحديث المرسل نعم بالذات سعيد بن المسيب هل يقبل؟
قول أيضا نرجع إلى الكتاب صفحة 121
The Sheikh Hafidhahullah says, due to the specific nature of the question, he refers you to page 121 and 122 and so forth, and you will find all the evidences that you need discussing the kibar of the tabi'in and how they are viewed when they narrate in a mursal form.
قلت أنا الجمهور العلماء على التسوية بين كبار التابعين وبين صغار التابعين فكل ما رفعه التابعي إلى الرسول هو حديث مرسل دون ذكر الواصل حديث مرسل.
The Sheikh Hafidhahullah reminds us, in general, the hadith which is reported from a tabi'i, not mentioning the person whom he is reporting from and mentioning قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم a mursal hadith, that the Sheikh says that the scholars of Al-Islam, the majority of them, treat the issue that the tabi'in are all to be thought of collectively in equal terms. Whether they are major tabi'in or minor, they are to be thought of in equal terms with this regard. And there isn't preference, except in the certain cases where one tabi'i, his narration is accepted. The basis of the matter, the general principle, is that if a tabi'i reports and says قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that report is to be treated as weak.
Now, Sheikh, we know with the classification of Imam Bukhari that one of the classifications is that if two narrators resided in a town together at the same time, he had to have certainty, yaqeen, that those two narrators had actually met each other. And we know that some of the other muhaddithin and in other collections, their classification was not as stringent as Imam Bukhari. So for example, if they had reports from Ibn Rijal that the individuals lived in the town, that was sufficient for them to accept that they may have, that the presumption that they would have met. How do we treat those hadiths in that regard?
بالنسبة لشروط الإمام البخاري في صحة الحديث تختلف عن شروط الأئمة الباقين مثل الإمام مسلم. الإمام البخاري يشترط أن الرواة
معروف.
نعم.
طيب.
كيف نتعامل بين الفرق بين شروط الإمام البخاري والإمام مسلم؟
خلاصة الجواب سيأتي في التدليس، ممكن أشير إليه في التدليس إن شاء الله. أن شرط الإمام البخاري شرط كمال وليس شرط صحة، وأن شرط الإمام مسلم شرط صحة. ولذلك قال العلماء شرط البخاري أقوى وأشد في القوة أقوى، وشرط الإمام مسلم أسد يعني من السداد والصح.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah answered this question, and I paraphrase it again. How do we treat the hadith that are found and the way Al-Imam al-Bukhari established the conditions for the acceptability of the hadith to be placed in his book? Imam al-Bukhari would state that the two people, although they resided in the same city, there has to be proof that these two people met. Imam Muslim says it's sufficient that they resided in the same city and that we can assume that they met. As the Sheikh answers by saying, these two statements, these two conditions, although they are of varying nature, are similar. The summary of the answer is and going to be discussed with you further in our component when we discuss At-Tadlis tomorrow or the day after, inshaAllah. But basically we say that Al-Imam al-Bukhari's shart, his condition, is not one of acceptability or not, it's one of perfection and completeness of the acceptability. While the condition of Al-Imam Muslim is one of acceptability, meaning that the condition of Al-Imam Muslim is whether you can consider this hadith acceptable or not in that standard level of sahih. While Al-Imam Al-Bukhari is whether that transmission and that isnad is the most perfect and most complete of chains of narration. So therefore, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, his narrations may be seen by the scholars as stronger, while the narrations of Al-Imam Muslim are seen by the scholars as being steadfast and also acceptable. They are things that are deemed foundations.
الشيخ بالنسبة للراوي المسلوك ومستواه بين الضعيف والموضوع، أمس سمعت من يحيى أنه أخبرنا بأن المتروك هو متهم بالكذب وليس كذاب. يعني
الحديث المطروح هو ما كان في سنده راو متهم بالكذب. شو الفرق بين المتهم بالكذب وبين الكذاب؟ أن المتهم بالكذب جرب عليه الكذب في الحديث الناس، فهو متهم بالكذب، مظنة الكذب. واضح؟
Repeat in English.
No.
I was asking the Sheikh about yesterday when he mentioned the matruk narrators for the hadith that are called matruh. He said that those narrators are accused of lying, whereas the mawdu' narrators are definitely liars. So what was the difference?
And the Sheikh reiterated these words, that the ones who are deemed abandoned are those who have been accused by lying and so forth. He reiterated the same words, that those who are deemed
المطروق هو المتهم
المتهم بالكذب هو الذي جرب عليه الكذب في حديث الناس وليس على الرسول صلى الله عليه
وسلم. المتهم The one who is muttaham, the one who is accused of lying, that type of person is the one who has been accused of lying amongst people, and not just specifically to lying about the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, It's been known that he is a person who lies about people, and this accusation has been brought against him. And it's known that he's a person who's been lying about other people, not just the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes.
And ask questions yet.
Yeah,
Sheikh. Is it right to say, yeah, that it's under the understanding of Al Mukhaddaram, those who were Muslims at the time of the Muhammad Sassam, but did not actually witness him, like the King of Ethiopia, Najashi, is he considered a Mukhaddaram?
Najashi, are you Haddam Mukhaddaram? يعني أيون هو يعني يطرح أمر آخر وهو أن المخضرم ممكن يكون قد أسلم في عهد النبي ولم يرى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم هذا ممكن يكون من المخضرم.
نعم. The Sheikh حفظه الله answers that a person who
مثل أويس القرني.
The Sheikh answers that a person who accepted Islam and didn't have the opportunity to travel and meet the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, never saw him, never heard from him directly, he can also be seen as a person who is Mukhadram. And this, there are examples of this, like the one put forth by the brother, which is that of the King of Ethiopia. And the Sheikh also mentions Uwais al-Qarni, who is a person from Yemen who accepted Islam but didn't have the opportunity to come and meet the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
وهذا أيضا والشيء بالشيء يذكر كما يقول أهل العلم. هذا يا أخواني يبين لنا أهمية رؤية العلماء وأننا لا نكتفي بالسماع. ولذلك كان السلف رضوان الله عليهم عندهم ما يسمى بالرحلة في طلب العلم، أن يرحل الطالب إلى العالم. ولكن للأسف الآن صارت العكس، صار العالم يرحل إلى الطالب والطالب زاهد في العالم إلا من رحم الله.
The Sheikh حفظه الله adds a tangent point, a secondary point, which is that this hadith and that this understanding and the likes of it shows the importance of the students of knowledge not just feeling satisfied that they hear the words of the scholars. Rather, they must put forth an effort to actually go and meet them and see them and hear from them directly. And this is something that's important. And therefore the scholars of Al-Islam in the past and the present, they always had this important concept of rihla, where they would travel, leave their homeland and travel to the land where the scholars reside and sit with him for a period of time, that where he would gain from him certain beneficial knowledge. Now the Sheikh says, sadly, we see that the situation has been put in the opposite mode, where you will find the students of knowledge and the scholars being forced to travel to the lands where the students happen to be, instead of the students taking the effort to go and sit with the scholars.
أنا مش تعبت.
شفت هذا النصير.
جئنا من الأردن حتى نعلم إخواننا.
We came all the way from Jordan to teach. So.
شيخ حفظك الله. بالنسبة للحديث المطروح يكون كذلك الشخص اللي هو مجروح بغير الكذب.
يكون متروك. ما معنى متروك؟ أي اتفق علماء الحديث على تضعيفه، يعني ما تجد فيه توثيقا البتة، كلهم قول ضعيف 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 متروك، فتجد هذا كلاماتهم يدور على الضعف وعلى الطرح، فهو متروك. نعم.
Could you repeat the question يا أخي in English؟ نعم.
I was just asking the Sheikh with regards to the Matruh Hadith, if it would also, the person had jarh upon him, if that would also necessitate that he was from the people who are come under Matruh.
Now, the Sheikh Hafidahullah answers by saying, those who are in this level, the scholars are those who have come to unanimous agreement, or that the scholars agree that their narrations are deemed weak, and therefore they do not accept their narrations. So those are those who are implied in this level or in this station. Those who the scholars agree that their narrations are weak.
Sheikh mentioned in an earlier lecture that hadith can be strengthened by supporting chains. Does the supporting hadith, does a text have to be exactly the same word for word, or can it be the same in meaning?
بالنسبة للشواهد هل يجب أن يكون المتن نفس المتن الحديث
بالنسبة للشاهد إما أن يكون الشاهد متنه كمتن الحديث الأول أو في معناه أو في بعضه فإن كان المعنى الثاني مثل المعنى الأول أو في لفظه أو نحوه فهو شاهد تام بيشهد لجميع الحديث فإن كان ممن يعتبر به فيتقوى الحديث الأول به ويرتقي إلى درجة الحسن وإن كان المعنى غير تام بمعنى أنه يشهد لجزء للفظة لجملة من الحديث فهذا يسمى الشاهد القاصر الشاهد القاصر فهذا الشاهد القاصر يشهد للجملة التي في معنى ولا يشهد لجميع الحديث نعم.
The Sheikh حفظه الله answers this question by saying that the matn of the two narrations, that which is going to be used as a witness and the originating transmission, the matn has to be either identical or similar to that which is being used as a witness. And if there is similarity, even if there is some discrepancy, that is can be used as a shahid for the whole hadith, not just for that, even the part where there is a small difference and a discrepancy. The Sheikh, and therefore it would rise from a da'if to a hasan hadith. As for when the hadith, the witnessing hadith, is in a small part or a word or a statement, one sentence or something of this nature, then it would be a witness just for that part and not for the whole chain.
الحديث المرسل هل يكون شاهد للحديث ضعيف وإذا كان الجواب لا فليس قد فعل ذلك لولما ذلك في الحديث من حسن الإسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه
طبعا الحديث مرسل الإرسال ضعف خفيف ينجب فإذا جاء المرسل من طريق آخر موصول ولو فيه ضعف مثلا فيه رجل سيء الحفظ مثلا أو فيه انقطاع فهو يترقى به إلى درجة الحسن ولكن إذا كان الآخر مرسل مثله قلنا لا ينجبر لأن الضعف في طبقة واحدة مثل أن يكون الانقطاع مثلا في طبقة واحدة لا ينجبر منقطع بمنقطع واضح؟
The brother was asking the Sheikh regarding a hadith that is mursal. A hadith that is mursal. What type of mursal is it? What type of da'if is it? Is it a hadith that is excessively da'if, meaning that it is a hadith that you cannot use as a witness or other witnesses cannot be used with it to raise it up in levels? The Sheikh answers, a hadith that is mursal is something that is not very weak. In fact, if you find supporting chains that do not have the same deficiency, meaning that they are not mursal in the same place, therefore they can be used to bring that hadith and witness and establish who the Sahabi was and raise that hadith to an acceptable level.
Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, we covered the Kutub al-Sita the other day, but I haven't heard the Sheikh mentioning about other books, for example, Ad-Darimi, Tabarani and others. How are they classified in the Ilm al-Hadith?
بالنسبة لكتاب الدارمي والطبراني كيف يعني هل لهم اعتبار؟
دارمي؟
نعم دارمي.
سنن الدارمي رحمه الله لعل بعض أهل العلم وكثير من أهل العلم يجعلها أقوى وأعلى مرتبة من سنن ابن ماجه فهي لها أهمية كبيرة كذلك معاجم الطبراني الصغير والأوسط والكبير، فيها ما ليس في غيرها. نعم، وكل كتب الحديث المسندة لها اعتبار، فقد تجد في الكتاب ما لا تجد في غيره، ولذلك لا يستغني طالب حديث عن أي كتاب في علم الحديث. نعم.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah answers this question by mentioning, as for the Sunan of Imam al-Darimi, this book, many of the scholars, in fact the majority or most of them, establish that this book is stronger and has more authentic ahadith than the Sunan of Ibn Majah. So therefore we see the importance of this book and we do not disregard it. As well we see the importance of the lexicanal gathering of al-Imam al-Tabrani, his Mu'jam, the lexicon of the small, medium, the intermediate and large Mu'jam, wherein he collected many of the ahadith of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All of these are valid books and that are important for us to study and to gain benefit from. Any books of hadith that have musnad chains of narration, where there are actual chains that you can check to see and verify the authenticity, cannot be disregarded and their importance cannot be made less or lacking in importance, for it is what comprises the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In a previous lesson it was mentioned about the mentioning of weak hadith, provided you implicitly or explicitly tell the audience that this is a weak hadith. Regarding the implicitly, is it sufficient to assume that the people understand what you say when you say it has been reported that? In other words, that you cover your own tracks, or do you have to make sure they understand this terminology?
No. لو ظن الراوي أو يعني مثلا حضرتك تروي علينا حديث وقلت روية كذا وأنت تظن أن المشاهدون للمحاضرة لا يعلمون هذه الكلمة أنها تعني الضعف، فهل أنت آثم أو هل يأثم من يفعل ذلك؟
لا، إذا روى حديثا وصدره بصيغة التمريض فقد برئت عهدته، لأن روية مصطلح، وإذا روى على القاعدة وعلى الجادة فلا إثم عليه، لكن ينبغي عليه من باب التحرز من باب الاحتياط، وهذا من التمام والكمال وليس الأصل، أن يتوثق هل يعلم السامع معنى روية أو لا يعلم، فإن كان يعلم فبها ونعمة، وإن كان لا يعلم فصل له، لأن المراد من تبليغ العلم هو إقامة البينة. واضح.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah answers this question by saying, the one who before narrating a weak hadith indicates that the hadith is weak by using one of the key terms such as ruwiya or something of this nature, which is a sign of the illness or the weakness of the hadith, such a person has freed himself from error by doing so. And the Sheikh says, even if the audience may not truly perceive this, but the Sheikh says, because we want to complete the blessings and to complete the favors, and so that we entrust people with security and with the correct narrations, it is preferred, although it is not a must, it's not a necessity, for the person who is going to narrate a weak hadith to make sure that everyone in the audience knows that that hadith that he is narrating is weak. But it would be something that is that is more perfect in the tabligh, in the conveying of the knowledge and the conveying of the benefit to those who are present, that you make it known to them that the hadith is weak.
What are the conditions that must be met in order to bring two mursal hadith to the level of Hassan al-Ghari?
بالنسبة للحديث الحسن المرسل يعني ممكن ترسم لهم كيف يرتفع للحسن لغيره، هو مش فاهمين كيف ان الحديث المرسل يرتفع.
حديث المرسل حديث ضعيف.
انا ممكن بالعربي
نعم حديث المرسل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ضعيف ضعفا ينجبر، يعني ينجبر يتقوى. جاء حديث آخر من قطر، الآن المنقطع ضعيف ضعفا ينجبر، المرسل زائد منقطع يساوي حسن لغيره
إن شاء الله.
مثال هذا وليس كل أمر.
Here the Shaykh حفظه الله gives a clear understanding and example. At the top, he gives you a hadith that is mursal. A mursal chain, tabi'i, and this is a hadith that is da'if, but it can be fixed. A hadith that is da'if, but it's a weakness that can be fixed. You have a tabi'i who is reporting straight from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you bring now, you add a hadith that is munqati', meaning it is broken in one part, as we see the Shaykh shows, tabi'i tabi'i, who is reporting from a sahabi. You have a tabi'i tabi'i, who is reporting from a sahabi, who is reporting from a sahabi, who in turn reports from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since you establish who the tabi'i is here, do you understand?
Tabi'i.
Since you can establish a complete chain, if you add them together, so now you can bring this down here and you can bring this up here, so you know who is the sahabi that is missing there and you know who is the tabi'i that is missing here. So the chain then becomes tabi'i tabi'i from this tabi'i who was brought down, from this sahabi who was placed up from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because you fix the errors, you see how the errors have been fixed. You fix the whole by the same narration. Therefore, this would be a hadith that is hasan li ghayrih. Hasan due to the witnessing and the na. لازم الحديث يكون نفس المثل. Now, according to what we described in the answer to you.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك.
بارك الله فيك.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الموقوف هو ما أسند إلى صحابي من قوله أو فعله، هكذا قال الإمام الذهبي. ولم يتجاوز قال قوله أو فعله ولم يقل تقريره. والصواب أن الموقوف هو ما أسند إلى صحابي من قول أو فعل أو تقرير ولم يتجاوز إلى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salah and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and recited to us khutbat al-hajah that we are all accustomed to hearing and understanding. He continued further by saying, Amma ba'd, Al-Imam al-Zahabi, the author of the book that we are explaining to you, said, and we are on page now, page 133, for those of you who are following along. We are in chapter 9. Al-Imam al-Zahabi begins by saying, Al-Mawquf, or a narration that is held down or stopped at a specific level. It is a stopped chain of narration. And it is, Al-Imam al-Zahabi states, a hadith that is mawquf is a hadith that it is chained, its chain of narration leads back and ends and begins or ends at the statement of a sahabi, whether it is a word he said or a deed that he performed that is reported from him alone, not raised to the words of the Rasul or the deeds of the Messenger. It is something that is stopped at the words or the deeds of a sahabi. Excuse me. The Shaykh Hafizahullah adds that Al-Imam al-Zahabi did not include the concurrence, or that Al-Imam al-Zahabi did not state that there is concurrence or agreement of the Sahabi as being mawquf. Here that is something that needs to be added. So therefore, a hadith that is mawquf is any statement or reported deed or agreement or concurrence of a Sahabi to a particular issue. That is to be deemed as a hadith that is mawquf, a statement or the deed or an agreement or concurrence acceptance of a particular deed that is not elevated to the word, statement or agreement or concurrence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وينبغي التنبيه على بعض الأمور, ومن أهمها أن أقوال الصحابة وأفعالهم التي أجمعوا عليها هي حجة في دين الله تبارك وتعالى, وهذا هو سبيل المؤمنين. وكذلك قول الصحابي وفعله الذي لا يعلم له مخالف في الصحابة فقوله حجة بين أهل العلم. وهذا هو مدار المنهج السلفي, أن نفهم كتاب الله وسنة نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بفهم السلف الصالح. ولذلك لا يلتفت إلى الذين يقولون أن أقوال الصحابة وأفعالهم ليست بحجة, وإذن كيف نفهم كلام الله وكلام رسوله؟ وقد بين ذلك في كتابين, أحدهما لماذا اخترت المنهج السلفي, والآخر بصائر ذوي الشرف بشرح مرويات منهج السلف. وأقمنا الحجة من الكتاب والسنة وأقوال العلماء على أن منهج السلف حجة بنفسه وهدى في ذاته, وهذا هو الفرق بيننا وبين الأحزاب والجماعات والفرق. وقد من الله سبحانه وتعالى فترجمت هذه الكتب إلى اللغة الإنجليزية, ترجمها الأخ يحيى حفظه الله, وستطبع إن شاء الله قريبا.
The Shaykh حفظه الله continued by stating, there are now certain issues that we need to clarify regarding this, how we understand a mawquf statement. The first of which is that we understand any statement that the Sahaba, any deed, action or acceptance or agreement, concurrence that the Sahaba unanimously agreed on, it is to be treated as a clear evidence that is not to be refuted. It cannot be rejected. Their consensus and unanimous agreement of a particular issue, that which they accept in deeds, actions, or their acceptance or concurrence of something of this nature, it is to be treated as irrefutable proof, an irrefutable proof and evidence. And the Shaykh went and to state that this understanding is one of the key root principles of adhering to the manhaj of a Salaf al-Salih. It is a key and root principle that we accept the words of Allah and the words of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the unanimously agreed upon edicts and agreements of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Those statements that they agreed upon and that they accept to be the truth in unanimous terms, we accept it as being the truth. And we do not look towards or even consider the words of those who have strayed from the truth and they say that there is no proof in the words of the Sahaba or in these issues. So this is something that we reject. The Shaykh Hafidhahullah continued by saying that this manhaj is the sabil, it is the path of the true believers. And the one who strays from the understanding of the Sahaba, which is what explains the sabil, this is the sabil of al-mu'mineen, the one who strays from the understanding of the Sahaba, of how they implemented and understood the textual evidences of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, has gone off and has strayed from the true, correct path of the believers. He paused in his discussion by mentioning that there are two books that the Shaykh himself, Hafidhahullah, have written. One of them is titled لِمَاذَ اخْتَرْتُ الْمَنْهَجَ السَّلَفِي, why I have chosen or why we choose the manhaj of the Salaf, the Salafi manhaj, and the second one, which means the clear explanation proving the validity and the clear explanations discussing the manhaj of the Salaf Ridwanullahi alayhim, proofs for it and why it is something that no one can deny or stray from. The Shaykh also mentions that these two books, alhamdulillah, they have been translated by myself and they will soon to be out on the market, soon to be published. They are, and the Shaykh allowed me to describe something about them, they are books that will be the cornerstones of understanding the manhaj, especially the manhaj of the Sahaba, because the Shaykh took great pain in disseminating all of the knowledge, and the whole book is gathered from all of the statements of the scholars, past and present, discussing issues such as Al-Fiqh al-Najiyah and Al-Ta'if al-Mansura, that they are one and the same thing, and that they are Ahlul Hadith. There are sections in it where the Shaykh goes in great detail discussing all of the narrations. Who are the ghuraba? Who are the strangers? There are sections in the Hadith, in the book, wherein the Shaykh, Hafidhahullah, he explains the proof of why we accept the unanimous agreement of the Sahaba, and we do not turn away from it and reject it. All of these things, there's also parts in the book wherein the Shaykh Hafidhahullah refutes the statements of contemporary people, Sa'id Hawa and these people, and the Shaykh destroys their concept that they believe that the people of Ahlul Sunnah are the Asha'ira and these people. The Shaykh refutes the statements of the Asha'ira, brings proof in regards to that. That is in why I have chosen the manhaj of the Salaf. In the other book, the Shaykh brings the narration showing what is the true path and what is the true way of what is the manhaj. What is the manhaj? The clear explanation of the manhaj of a Salaf al-Salih in his book, which is going to be a marja that you can return to as a reference material in anything dealing with the manhaj of the Sahaba and the Salaf al-Salih, Ridwanullahi alayhi. So the Shaykh makes dua and he asks you to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates their spread and their publishing is to be made easy.
وسننتقل الآن إلى المرفوع. المرفوع هو ما نسب إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قوله أو فعله أو تقريره. هو ما نسب إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قوله أو فعله أو تقريره.
The Shaykh Hafidhahullah now takes us to the next chapter or the next segment wherein he discusses the other issue, which is the hadith that is elevated. the hadith that is marfu'ah, raised or elevated to the level of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or that it is established. And this is the definition: anything that is attributed, meaning authentically attributed, to an-Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether a word, meaning statement, word or statement, or action that he performed, or concurrence or acceptance of a person doing a deed in front of him. Any word, statement or acceptance of a deed that is attributed directly to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not to the Sahaba and not to others. It's something that he himself said, did, or accepted and concurred of its validity. So this is what a mawquf hadith or a marfu' hadith is. A marfu' hadith is that which is established to be from the words, statements, or concurrences and acceptance of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While the marfu' hadith is a hadith wherein it is the words, statements, or accepted concurrence of the Sahaba. And the Shaykh mentioned that is a mawquf hadith. That is what is accepted from the statements of the Sahaba as being their deed. The Shaykh will draw you.
هناك أنواع ثلاثة هذه أنواع حسب انتهاء السند، يعني الموقوف والمرفوع والمقطوع، هذه الأنواع حسب انتهاء سندها. فهنا راوي مثلا، تابعي، صحابي، رسول الله، هذا المرفوع حسب نهاية السند. الآن الموقوف، راوي، تابعي، صحابي، كانت نهاية السند ايش؟ صحابي. المقطوع، راوي، تابعي. إذا انتهى على التابعي من قوله أو فعله أو تقريره فهو المقطوع، فهو المقطوع. والمقطوع غير المنقطع. الانقطاع علة في السند، الانقطاع المنقطع علة في السند، وهو حديث ضعيف. هذه الأحاديث الثلاثة، الأنواع الثلاثة، المرفوع والموقوف والمقطوع، ممكن تكون صحيحة، ممكن تكون ضعيفة، ممكن تكون ضعيفة جدا، ممكن تكون موضوعة. واضح؟
نعم. The Shaykh Hafidhahullah, to explain it further so that there isn't any discrepancies, he mentions to you that there are three types of chains that are relative to where the chain ends in its types of chains that are seen by their relativity as to where the chain ends. Where the chain ends. The first is the marfu'. The second is the mawquf. And the third one is al-maqtu'. Make sure that you understand that the maqtu' is other or different than al-munqati'. Al-munqati', we discussed this yesterday, this is different than al-maqtu'. The Shaykh mentioned that the hadith that is marfu' is where a reporter, he narrates from a tabi'i, and the tabi'i narrates from a sahabi. The tabi'i narrates from a Sahabi, and the Sahabi narrates from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is a marfu hadith, because the beginning, the origin of the statement is from whom? It's elevated to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The second type, which is al-mawquf, a hadith where it stopped at a particular area, meaning the Sahabi, is where a reporter, he reports from the tabi'i, and the tabi'i reports that this deed was the deed, statement, or acceptance of a Sahabi. So it stops here and is not elevated. So it is stopped or restricted or confined to the statements of the Sahabi. The maqtu' hadith is a hadith that is narrated from the reporter, and it stops at the actions of the tabi'i. This is different than munqati'. Munqati' is where there's a breakage. This is where the hadith just terminates. This is the statement of a tabi'i. That is different than a breakage in the chain. This is broken chain. That is different than the maqtu'. Is that clear? It's severed. I hope that's how you spell it. Now, yes, and the Sheikh adds, he reminds me that each of these statements, you can have the different levels of hukm, meaning that this can be sahih, not because it's marfu' and it's seemingly established to the Rasul, that means that the chain is authentic. There may be this narrator is weak and so forth. Not because it's a marfu' hadith that the sanad terminates or begins at the words of the messenger, that means that that hadith is automatically sahih. You can have a hadith like this in this form, that is sahih or da'if or hasan or da'if jiddan, as well as the mawquf and so forth. Each of these can have those types of rulings. So this isn't discussing the acceptability of the hadith, it's discussing the form of the hadith. So this is the form, not acceptability. So it's something where it's discussing you, this is one form of a type of narration, the marfu', where it's all the way to the messenger, terminates, or if you see it begins from there. The mawquf is where it's stopped at the level of the sahabi, or a mawquf, a severed, at the level of the tabi'i. Now, forms of acceptability. It's a form, not acceptability. It's the type of chain, not that it's discussing the form or the type of the chain. It does not discuss whether the chain is acceptable or not. So it's a classification of the types of the chains.
المتصل الاتصال هو عكس الانقطاع فكل حديث سلم من الانقطاع فهو حديث متصل ويصدق على المرفوع والموقوف والمقطوع حديث المتصل هو ما سلم سنده واتصل وسلم من الانقطاع يعني هي صفة للسند الاتصال صفة للسند فإذا سلم السند من الانقطاع فهو موصول أو متصل نعم ويصدق يعني أي يشمل المرفوع والموقوف والمقطوع
The Shaykh حفظه الله continues with the next component, which is the hadith that is muttasil. I'll just write up because it's different than this. the hadith that is muttasil, it's first a description. It's not a description of form. It is a description of the chain. It is a description of the chain, and it is a hadith where there is no breakage in the chain, meaning the chain is linked, and therefore this muttasil equals continuously continuous chain that is unbroken. And it is something that incorporates marfu' and mawquf hadith. It is something where mawquf, you can have the marfu' and mawquf. As being described in this type of chain.
شيخ انت ذكرت المقطوع بيكون المقطوع ذكرته لكن بشرط ان يقيد متصل الى التابع يعني متصل الى سعيد بن المسيب متصل الى الزهري
طيب يكون متصل اليه
يعني اذا قلنا ان المقطوع متصل لابد من تقييده بالتابع
طيب and the chef mentioned that also the مقطوع that the maqtu' can be incorporated in this description of the chain if the tabi'i is known and is someone where the chain reaches him completely, is known and the chain reaches incompleteness, reaches him intact.
And you قيد به.
نعم. يعني لا برواية.
لا يعني يكون هذا متصل إلى سعيد بن مسلم.
نعم. So we actually have
حسن البصري.
نعم. So we actually have to establish who the tabi'i is. The tabi'i has to be known. Meaning you can't just say someone from them said. It has to be. You have to establish who it is. The tabi'i must be known. Must state identity state identity of the tabi'i. Now what is the question?
هل الحكم المرفوع يكون مثل المقطوع؟ يعني لازم نذكر لا في المقطوع بس.
نعم. That is only found. That stipulation is only found in the مقطوع. No. No. Is it clear?
نعم.
في ممكن تزيد عن كلام
في اذا في كلام مش واضح نعيد
what is the issue that is difficult
قول لهم شيء الهدوء اهم شيء اهم شيء الهدوء
نعم
والانتباه
the sheikh is saying be calm we will address all the issues inshallah don't talk amongst yourselves if you have a direct question you can raise your hand up and we will try to address it inshallah
Now, just to reiterate about this question, because I didn't really understand what the Sheikh said. He said that in the case of the maqtu' narration, the tabi must be known. You must say who the tabi is.
However, لازم نذكر اسم التابعي في
المقطوع.
في المقطوع.
طيب. إذا وصفناه بالاختصار.
هل هذا الشرط يجب في المرفوع والموقوف؟
لا.
لا.
إذا المرفوع.
مش فاهمين لماذا؟
لا. لأنه المقطوع يعني هو عكس الاتصال. فلما نقول مقطوع متصل يصير تناقض في العبارة، ولذلك نقول متصل إلى الحسن البصري، متصل إلى سعيد بن المسيب، متصل إلى سعيد بن جبير. فنأتي بكلمة متصل ونذكر التابعي لنهرب من كلمة إيش؟ الانقطاع التي هي ضد إيش؟ الاتصال. واضح؟ وهذا ما يكون في المرفوع والموقوف.
نعم. The Sheikh is mentioning that the issue. The Sheikh is mentioning that the issue as to why there is this stipulation for the maqtu' is because the maqtu' narration, the essence of the word is severed, meaning that there's a breakage, meaning because it is unknown whether this tabi' is narrating from whomever. But we see that to remove this word and to remove the condition of the chain being severed, we then make it known that these are the words of whom? Himself. These are only his words. So therefore it's no longer severed. You're sure that it is not the words of anyone else. You understand? You establish that the words of the tabi'i, these are known as his words. Sa'id al-Musayyib said this. Hasan al-Basri said this. They are his own words. So therefore it is no longer something where it is, the chain is broken yet established. How can that be? If it is something that's severed, if the chain is severed, and you are stating that it is a chain that is mutasil, continuous, that is a contradiction. So in fact what you're doing, you are saying it is no longer severed because we understand that these words are the individual words of this particular tabi'i. So you are identifying, meaning you are stating that the words are of the tabi'i. That is why it is deemed something necessary for you to identify this is the tabi'i and these are his words.
So if the maqtu remain, you cannot identify the tabi'in, then it is maqtu severed.
It's still severed, maqtu, no.
And then doesn't come under the mu'tasil.
No.
هنا المسند المسند الحديث المسند وهذا فيه خلاف بين أهل العلم هل هو يشمل المرفوع والموقوف أو غير ذلك وأنا أريد أن أذكر التعريف الصحيح المختصر ولا أريد أن أدخل في التفريعات التفريعات والشرح موجود في الأصل المسند هو الحديث المرفوع المتصل إذا توفرت في الحديث صفتان الرفع والاتصال فهو حديث مسند.
نعم.
واضح؟
نعم.
إذا تحققت في الحديث أنه مرفوع أي رفع إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
وكان سنده متصلا سالما من الانقطاع، فيسمى في هذه الحالة الحديث المسند، حديث المسند.
لكن خالي من الانقطاع.
نعم.
The Sheikh حفظه الله explains to us the next component, which is a hadith that is musnad, meaning it is a hadith that is supported by the words of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. They are relying, supported, or relied upon meaning that there is, and that this type of hadith, as the Sheikh said in the beginning, I do not wish to go into the subsidiary branches and the intricate details. He says, I'm just going to give you the major classification. And it's important to know that before we discuss anything, that this hadith, it can be sahih, it can be da'if, it can have all of that. We begin by saying that this hadith which is supported or that is relied upon is a hadith that is marfu'a. First, and what is a hadith that is marfu'a? It is something that is from the direct words, actions, or agreements of whom? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the first condition. And the second condition is that the hadith is muttasil, meaning that it is a continuous chain. This does not mean that the chain is an authentic chain. It just means that the chain, the description of the chain, is that there is no breakages in it. So the main criteria, that it is marfu' and no breakage. In any part of the chain. Or that's the general understanding. Marfu' by itself, yes, but that's the description of a hadith. No. But the hadith that is musnad, that's chained all the way back to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is a hadith that has these two attributes. There's no breakage in it, and it is from the words, statements, or agreements of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It has nothing to do with authenticity or anything of that nature.
والآن ننتقل إلى الحديث الشاذ والحديث المنكر. من يعرف الحديث الصحيح؟
The Sheikh is we're going now to go to the hadith which is shadh, and we're going to discuss these, but the Sheikh first wants to ask a question. Who can tell us what the conditions of a sahih hadith are? What the conditions are?
It's the hadith that has every narrator being adil, free of sin and problems with his character. Every narrator is dabit or mutqin, precise in his narrating the isnad and the matan, and that the chain is connected back all the way with like narrators, and that it is free of any shuduz, contradictions, or any illas, hidden defects.
No. Precise narration that. The brother answered correctly that a sahih hadith has the following conditions. First, that the narrators who are reporting the hadith are all trustworthy narrators. No one has accused them of religious impropriety or things of this nature. Second, that they are precise in their narration, in memory and in the chain of narration. Their memory of the statement, the matn, as well as their memory of the chain. They are not confused in it. And third, that the hadith the brother mentioned, continuous, that the hadith is muttasil, or that it is continuously all the way back to whomever it is stretching back to. Continuous. And that it is free of issues that bring about shudud, or that issues of irregularity. It does not have any shaz attributes, meaning that there is no contradictions between words and chains and things of this nature. This is what we will be discussing soon, inshaAllah. And fifth, it does not have, it is free of the illah or defect. These are the attributes of the sahih hadith. These are the conditions. As the Shaykh has described to us on our first or second day of meeting.
إذا علمنا هذا فمن شرط الحديث الصحيح أن لا يكون شاذا. الشذوذ إذن هو أن يخالف الثقة الثقات. يعني مجموعة من الثقات رووا حديث لكن ثقة وثقة في حفظه فخالفهم روى عكس ما يروون. روى ضد ما يروون. هم أثبتوا وهو نفى. هم نفوا وهو أثبت. يعني فيه مصادمة. نعم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله now begins to define what one of these irregularities. What is one attribute of there being an irregularity in the chain, something that is shad. One example, or the example the Shaykh puts forth, we understand from the conditions that there can be no irregularities in the chain of narration, as is one of the conditions here. The Shaykh mentioned that of this irregularity, it means, or it's stipulated, that a siqa, someone who is trusted and a trustworthy source, a trusted reporter, goes against, contradicts, opposes those who are more or higher than him in their trustworthiness, or that they are more in number and so forth. A person, a thiqa, he is trusted, he contradicts or opposes other thiqas. Is that clear? A thiqa opposes or contradicts other thiqas. Therefore his statement, his singular statement, goes against other thiqas in the same narration or in the same hadith and so forth.
إذن شرط الشذوذ هو المخالفة أن يخالف الثقة الثقات أو أن يخالف الثقة من هو أوثق منه.
It is that a person who is thiqa opposes or contradicts those who are thiqat, more in number than him. He opposes their statements, or a person who is thiqa opposes or contradicts the words of one person who is more trusted than him. Is that clear?
الآن في حالة إذا روى الثقات حديثا وروى الثقة الحديث نفسه لكنه زاد عليهم لفظة مفسرة للحديث موضحة للحديث فهذه تسمى زيادة الثقة مثل حديث رأيتهم يحركونها من تحت الثياب حديث تحريك الأصبع زيادة من زائد ابن قدامة وزائد ابن قدامة في السماء علوا في الثقة فهي زيادة ثقة فهي زيادة ثقة وزيادة الثقة مقبولة
زائد بن قدامة. زائد بن قدامة.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah, now he explains, he's giving an example. If there are thiqat, if there is a large pool of trusted reporters, a large pool of trusted reporters, they unanimously report the hadith in one way, with one statement. Then there is another trustworthy reporter who narrates the hadith identically, but he adds one statement. He adds a ziyada, one statement. One statement that is explanatory to the major statement. He adds one statement that explains the other agreed upon major statement. That is titled the ziyada of a thiqa, the increasement or the addition of a trusted reporter. The ziyada of a thiqa, the increasement of a trusted reporter. The Shaykh gives you an example, which is that of the moving of the finger in tashahud. That moving of the finger, the hadith is accepted by all. All the thiqat report the same hadith, but Zaid ibn Qudam, he reports, he adds this ziyada of a thiqa. And this person, this reporter, he is at the level of the sky in his trustworthiness. The scholars of hadith consider him at the level of the sky in his trustworthiness, meaning he is very trusted. So therefore, his increasement is taken as an acceptable ziyada. It is the ziyada, the increasement to the narration from a thiqa. And it's explanatory of the general hadith, because in it, he says that I saw them even from beneath their garments, they would be moving their finger in the tashahud.
زائد ابن قدام.